of you. Really, nothing like a human contact as much as we see each other on Zoom. Totally not the same. Definitely no hugs. So, very nice to be here. Anyhow, so we are going to study now two sessions of 45 minutes, Pirkei Avot, right? One Mishnah and maybe two, depends on the time allowance, right, of Pirkei Avot. So we are in the first chapter of Pirkei Avot. If you have it in front of you, it's right after Mincha of Shabbat. If not, it's okay. Right? I'll read the Mishnah and we'll concentrate on it.
The page, please.
Excuse me?
What is the page?
You have the English, let me see, I didn't get it. Anybody who has it in the English? No, that's English. If you don't have it, it's fine, it's one sentence. I'll say it, it's okay.
Okay.
So. Pirkei Avot starts with what the people of the Great Assembly said, and then we have individuals who are speaking. The people of Great Assembly were at the end of the time that we had prophecy. Till Mordechai, according to one opinion, Mordechai was the last prophet that we had, that he was Malachi, there is one opinion, but anyhow. And Pirkei Avot starts after the exile of Babel. These people after the exile of Babel, only the first Mishnah is in between, right? It's the second Beit HaMikdash, the time where it starts, okay? So we are starting with Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, Moshe got the Torah from Sinai, passed it to Yoshua, and so on and so on, and then it came to the people of the Great Assembly. The first saying here is what they said, and then we go to the second one that I want to concentrate on. Shimon HaTzadik, Hayam Misharei Knesset HaGdola, was of the remnants of the people of the Great Assembly. Meaning it's the end of the period of the Great Assembly. And he said three things. He used to say, more than once, this was one of the things that he used to say. He used to say the following. The veil depends on three things. Torah, Avodah, and Milut Chasadim. Torah, we all know what it is. Avodah meaning the service of Hashem, what refers to the offerings in the Beit HaMikdash. Right? And Gmilut Chasadim, doing good to other people. Okay, that's the Mishnah that I want to concentrate on today. In order to understand the Mishnah, we have to get some historical understanding. As I said, it's the end of the time of prophecy, and we start a new era. No prophets, right? And it's a big, big difference from what was before. Before they had clear messages from Hashem about what, how, and so on. Now it's basically, even though the temple is still there, right? The time of the second temple, but prophecy is not there anymore. It's a new era. It's a transition between two realities. And any transition is a vulnerable time. So Shimon HaTzadik is giving advice that will help the Jewish people as a nation and individuals still today, how to manage in such a reality. It's transition, it's difficulties, exile, personal difficulties, national difficulties. Still, we have to continue, do our mission, and do whatever we have to accomplish in our lifetime as individuals, as a nation. What is it that will help us, that will sustain us, that will make us be able to fulfill our mission regardless of life circumstances? So that's what this Mishnah is going to tell us. Okay? So he says, the veil depends. The Hebrew word is omed, and you'll see soon why I'm going back to the Hebrew. The veil stands on, if you want to translate literally. The article translates depends on. Right? The veil depends on Torah, Avodah and Gmilut Chasadim. Three pillars that the veil like stands on, that gives it existence, that gives it meaning, that gives it purpose. Torah, Avodah and Gmilut Chasadim. So as we said, Asrol translated it as depends on. The Bartenura explains three things that the Welt stands on, he says that the Welt was created for. And being that it was created for it, it depends on it. Meaning, it's not just a one-time thing, the Welt was created with this in mind, but the very existence of the Welt depends on those three pillars. Torah, service in Beit HaMikdash, what today we don't have. So what we do today instead is what? Tefillah, right? Davening, right? And doing good to other people. These are the three things that if a person does the way he should, if the nation is dedicated to it in the proper way, will endure everything and anything. In the end of the chapter, towards the end, what is brought is Al Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Kayam. There are three things that the world endures on. It speaks more about order, organization, justice, things that are the basis, the foundation for an organized, functioning society. Here is a different story. It's what the world was created for and what the world depends on. And we want to understand why those three things, right? And what does it mean the world depends on them? So I want to open up the Chumash in the story of creation, the very, very beginning of the five Chumashim. What I'm doing now is based on the Maharal's explanation on this Mishnah. Okay? And I want to show you something that we all know, but it will lead us into the understanding. Page number three. The creation of the first day is discussed. And if you look at verse number four, after Hashem created the light, the Torah says, God saw that the light was good. Vayara Elohim et ha'or ki tov. He saw that it was good. Ki tov. Tov is good. Ki tov, that it is good. On Monday it's not written because something started and didn't finish, but it finished on Tuesday, the third day of creation. And something else was created on the third day of creation, so we will have there this term twice. If you look further, you change the page, you turn the page, okay? So you'll see that in verse number 12, okay, yeah, 12, it ends with, and God saw that it was good. Okay? And it will be the same on the fourth day, fifth day, five times, right? For the creation of the first 5 days, the Torah says Kitov. This raises a question. Hashem created something, and then the Torah says, he saw that it was good. What is the question? Very good. Didn't he know before if it will be good or not be good? A human being creates something, he doesn't know what will be, will it be as he thinks it will be or not, so sometimes he makes adjustments after he creates it. So there is room to say he saw that it was good, but obviously Hashem knows in advance everything. What does it mean he saw that it was good? Okay? The Maharal explains the following, and it's a very, very beautiful idea. Obviously Hashem created the world for a purpose. Everything that was created has to bring something that is good. Any creation, everything that exists, there's no waste in this world. Everything that was created for a purpose. It means it has to create something good. If it's an animate, if it's a vegetation, animals, everything that was created in order to bring some goodness to this world. So that's what the Torah teaches me. Hashem created the world to do good. Everything that is here can bring something good. Why? Because it represents the will of Hashem. There is godliness in it. There is an intention behind it. And if it's here, created by Hashem, it has to bring something good. And when things really bring good to this world, then the world has a reason to exist. Right? So we start to understand what does it mean the world stand on. Obviously, these three things are things that are going to bring good to this world, right? And this is what gives them existence. Something that does not bring good to this world cannot be. It might exist for a while. But real existence is eternity. Real existence is not something that is today, here and tomorrow, not like a dream. When I dream, it's very real. When I see a photo mirage, I am mirage. To me, it's very real. I might run towards it. But when I come, I see it's nothing. That's not good. That's not existence. Real good is something that is there to stay and to be good. So everything that Hashem created is in this category of potential for good. It has good in it, not only potential, but it has godliness in it. And this is what gives this existence. Because there is nothing that is real besides Hashem. There is no real existence without Hashem. If there is no godliness in something, it cannot exist. Okay? It won't endure. So, when Hashem created the world, he said about everything that he created, he saw that it was good. He wanted to continue. And that's really how Nachmanides explains Kitov. He said Hashem wanted it to last. Hashem created, that's the first stage, it came into being. When Hashem says Kitov, it means I want it to continue. Why? Because it serves the purpose. Okay? So, understanding this, we can now go to our Mishnah and see why exactly are these three things the pillars. The Maharal says there are other things that are very essential, like Brit Milah, circumcision. There is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu that says, "Im lo briti itam, chukot shamayim v'aretz lo samti." It's not of the covenant that I made with the Jewish people. I would have not created the world. The word covenant, brit, obviously brings to mind Brit Milah. It's also explained in general, the giving of the Torah was a covenant, right? But it also refers to Brit Milah. Obviously, it indicates to us that circumcision is something very fundamental and very essential. Why is this not here among the three pillars that the world stands on and depends on, right? Obviously, Hashem wants it, right? That's how a Jew, male boy, starts his life, right? The age of 8 days. Why shouldn't it be here? So obviously there is something in common to these three, something that we have to explore in order to understand this Mishnah. Okay, so we want to understand what does it mean that the world stands on those things, that this is what really the world depends on. This doesn't exist, it won't happen. Before we go into the understanding, I want to give some historical proofs to it. There was a time, one time, there almost, or really, the whole world became nothing. When was it?
Mabul.
The Mabul. Mm-hmm. Nothing before, nothing after, did we have something like the flood. Right? All of mankind, besides 8 people, disappeared. And not only people, but plants, animals, everything. Basically, the world came back to stage number one. If you remember, stage number one was the whole world filled with water. So it's going back to the very beginning. This way it cannot continue. Let's see what were the causes for the Mabul. So what's the famous one?
Hamas.
Hamas, stealing. Which of the pillars was ruined by the Hamas? If you look at the Mishnah. Doing good to other people, right? So one pillar was not there doing good to others because they were stealing from each other, not considering what belongs to whom. This was gone. What else happened at the Dora Mabul?
Immorality.
Immorality. Very good. Immorality. And the Maharal explains that immorality is the opposite of Torah. Because when Hashem gave us the Torah, he told us that what he wants us to become via the acceptance of the Torah is to be what? To become what? I can't hear. Mamlechet Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh. He wanted us to be holy, to be moral, to act like godly beings. People who are immoral are not acting like godly beings, right? So Torah was gone. the concept of Torah. Of course, Torah was not given yet, but the concept of Torah, of holiness, disappeared. And we are told that they also worshipped idols. And it's learned from the word nishcheta. The world became corrupted, and this term, leashchit, lehishachet, is used when we speak about worship, idol worshiping. So they didn't serve Hashem, they served idols. So this is the third pillar that was gone, right? The service of Hashem, right? Avodah is gone. And being that these three pillars were not there, it just could not continue. That's why it stopped. What do we find did Noah do right after the Mabul, after the flood? Before even?
Korbanot.
Very good. He brought an offering. Avodah. Right? He started to build the world again in the right way, on the right, with the right pillars in mind. So he brought an offering. What did he do the whole year in the Teiva? He dealt with the animals. He did good to others. Right? So it's rebuilding via, again, dedicating oneself to these three pillars and in this way giving life to a new reality. So that's the historical proof. Right? But we have to...
That was Torah.
Again?
What did he do that was Torah?
The offering was...
The offering was part of it. The way it is understood is the following. You'll see later on that the order should have been, and we'll see soon why, the opposite. Meaning, doing good to other people, avodah, milut chazadim, avodah, and Torah. But Torah teaches us how to do the other two, that's why it's first. Okay? So, Noah studied a new world, trying to build these three things that were destroyed before and caused the destruction. Okay? So now we want to understand why is it so. Yeah.
How did he do the three things? I only got the
carbon
at
Avoda.
How did he do
the Torah? He did chesed in the Teiva for a year.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and he knew it based on Torah, on his knowledge of Torah. He knew what to do based on his knowledge of Torah. Okay, so we want now to explore, yes.
But they didn't get the Torah yet.
Yeah, but Noach studied Torah. Hashem told him to bring the pure animals into the Teiva. The kosher animals, 7, and the non-kosher 2. How did he know? Right? They knew Torah without being given the Torah. Why? Because the world is the blueprint of the Torah. If you know to learn the universe properly on the spiritual level, you see the blueprint. Okay? That's very briefly what is explained. Okay, so now we have to understand why are those the pillars? Okay, and we'll do it on a few levels. When we say that these things are the pillars, we said why? Because we want to achieve the tov. We want to bring a reality that is good, right? Hashem created the world for good. And we want to use reality to do good. So keeping this in mind, let's start to look into Torah, Avodah, and Gmilut Chasadim. Torah is learned not necessarily just by Jewish people. There are many non-Jewish universities who teach Torah, teach Talmud, teach Torah, give the information, know it. This is not what we speak about when we speak about Torah. Torah is not just an information. Right? It's not just information, a set of rules, some stories. It's not information. It's something totally different than any other field of knowledge, right, that people study and learn. The proof is, people can study any subject and it can totally not affect the way they behave. You know, there is the famous story about Aristo, right, who misbehaved even though he spoke so highly about the proper way of conducting oneself. And then when he was asked, he said, now I'm not Aristo. Right? Meaning the knowledge is knowledge, that's in my brain, what does it have to do with me? Some adds that he said, if I teach about a triangle, I have to become a triangle. No, it's wisdom, it doesn't have to do with it. Meaning a person can acquire the knowledge of Torah and still did not build what we are speaking about when we say Torah. Okay? Torah is something else. And the name of Torah itself is indicative. Torah means, at the root of Torah, is Yud Reish Hei, the same root of Lehorot, to teach, right? To instruct, right? It has to be something that has to do with actions. And the Maharal explains why. He says it's like this. He says there are three main faculties to men. If you would have to say three parts of the body that are the most essential, what would you say?
Brain.
The brain, the heart, right? And in the other category, he puts either the liver or the rest of the limbs, right? Sometimes this, depends in what way he divides the topic. But there are three major faculties to men. The brain, the intellect, right? The heart, the place of... What does it add to the brain, the heart?
Emotion,
feelings, right? And the rest of the body, that is the one that executes what the brain and what the heart says, right? Now, these three faculties that man has, if he perfects them, then we can say about him that he is good. Hashem gave us three areas, three faculties, brain, heart, and the ability to act, or the liver that is considered the place of the wants, the desires of the human being. So we have desires, feelings, and intellect. And if a person makes those three to be good, right, then he is the way Hashem wants him to be. So let's start to look at the intellect. Okay? Obviously, if you speak about Torah, it will correspond to the intellect of the human being, right? So let's start to look at the intellect. Animals have intellects too. They are given wisdom. And what's the purpose of the wisdom that animals get?
Survive,
right? They have all the wisdom they need in order to survive. In some areas, they are more developed than us in terms of the, you know, intellect that was given them for survival, right? But they have everything that they need in order to survive. Man has also intellect that enables him to survive, but it's more developed. While animals cannot plan building a house, it's instinctive, they can only build one kind of a house, right? The whole species will always build the very same nest or the very same place of shelter. Human beings can do whatever they want in terms of shelter, right? Be very creative and make decisions about when, how, where. But it's basically the same type of knowledge, the same type of intellect, just more developed, the same way that in the kingdom of animals. We have animals who are less sophisticated in terms of, let's say, building the shelter, and others who are more, right? So man is even more. But it's still in the category of a living creature, not any better than an animal, just more sophisticated. Okay? Now, when we speak about this, we do not speak, or in these terms, we are not speaking about Torah. Torah is something totally different. Torah is way beyond the intellect. It's godly understanding, godly knowledge. And many times it can contradict the intellect. And it still remains the truth. It still remains the right thing. Okay? It's something that is totally not connected to the physical. It's spiritual enlightenment from Hashem. Sometimes it goes together with the intellect. We can understand it, and sometimes it's beyond our understanding. Right? But this is what Torah is all about. If we say that a person, in order to become perfect, in order to be good, has to have Torah, we speak about being able to tap into this level of godliness, not just to get the information everybody can, right? But to tap into this knowledge, right, that is beyond the intellectual capacity. It's basically bringing godly information that is beyond human capacity into his brain. This is what we speak about when we speak about Torah. What's the difference between the two? While the first, it's information, and as we said before, it doesn't have to have any effect on the human being. People can be very sophisticated and even speak about nice behavior to each other and be animals. We experienced it, unfortunately, in our history a lot. Right? Especially our generation, just, you know, a few decades ago. Right? And still, we see it today. Right? So, obviously, this is not what we are talking about. When a person acquires this level of Torah that is really godly, he becomes a godly being. And it must affect him. It does affect all that he is. And he acts in a way that is beyond an angel. Right? And there are endless stories of people all through the generations who reached this level. And in fact, it's very interesting. In the beginning of Pirkei Avot, we have already a hint for it. We start Pirkei Avot with Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. Moshe got the Torah in Sinai. And he transmitted it to whom?
Joshua.
To Yehoshua. He was the second in the chain of transmission of Torah from generation to generation. The Sfat Emet asked, what does it mean, Moshe kibel Torah miSinai? He got the Torah in Sinai and transmitted it to Yehoshua. To whom did Moshe Rabbeinu give the Torah?
Everybody.
What does it mean, Umesara Yehoshua? So he refers us to a pasuk, famous pasuk. Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Morasha Keilat Yaakov. Moshe commanded to us, gave us the commandments of Torah. Torah tziva lanu Moshe to all of the Jewish people. And then, Morasha, it's an inheritance to the community of Yaakov, to the nation of Yaakov. It looks like duplication. Moshe gave the Torah, again gave the Torah. So the Sfat Emet says the following. Chazal say, what does it mean? It's Morasha Keilat Yaakov. Morasha comes from which verb? What's the noun? Yerusha. What is a Yerusha?
Inheritance.
So Moshe gave the Jewish people the Torah as an inheritance. Our sages say, don't read it morasha, what means an inheritance. Read it meorasa. What is leitares?
To get engaged.
So Moshe gave the Torah to the Jewish people and they are like engaged to it. Now, why would our sages say, don't read it like this, read it like this? Let's see what's the difference between an inheritance and between an engagement. I get an inheritance. What's my share in it?
100%.
Nothing. I didn't earn it. I didn't work for it. I got something as a gift. Right? One day, I get money just because I'm the son or the daughter of somebody. I didn't do anything for it. So there is such an aspect in the receiving of the Torah. You did nothing, you got it. It's an inheritance. There is another one. To get engaged, I have to do something. I have to think about the suggestions that I get, to sort out, to date, to think, and to make a commitment. Right? So that's something that I am doing. So it seems like to contradict each other. Is Torah an inheritance where I did not invest anything? Or is Torah something that I have to acquire? Right? That I have to look after? And I have to make a commitment to? Obviously, if the Torah says morasha, an inheritance, and our sage says meorasa, engage, it means both are true. Both are there. So the Sfas Emes explains very beautifully. He says as follows. Of course, we have to acquire Torah. Right? We have a brain. Hashem gave us a brain, the ability to think. We have the ability to sit and study and learn, right? Diligently. But our brain is limited. as a physical brain, it's not different than the physical brain of another animal, just more developed, but it's animalistic. It's only a way to survive, a way to acquire what I need to know in order to be able to survive. But if I really do everything that I can via my capabilities that Hashem gave me, via my intellect, Hashem grants me as a gift an inheritance, something that is beyond my capability. And that's in essence godly, because it's coming from Hashem, it's not physical, it's godliness. So when a person achieves this level, and not too many people achieve this level, right? You have to really be connected to Torah in the proper way and prepare yourself as a vessel for Torah by developing your character traits and intentions and so on. Then he becomes a good being. Meaning when we are told there are three pillars that the Welt stands on, we don't speak just about actions or thinking or feeling. We speak about something of a godly nature. Because the only way that something will exist is because it has godliness in it. Nothing exists besides the will of Hashem, besides godliness. Any other thing, anything that exists, from an animate to all other dimensions of creation, are all there because Hashem instills in them godliness that gives them existence. That is really what we say, Ein od milvado, there is nothing besides God. When we say, Hashem echad, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem echad, there is no independent reality besides Hashem. His existence does not depend on anything else. Anything else that exists because it depends on him. It's because it's connected to him, because it's attached to the source. And that's why it exists. So, Torah is a must. Why? Because it turns the intellect of the Jew into a godly being. And being that it's godly, it's good. Being that it's good, it gives it existence. It gives the world existence and it gives the person's existence. The person's existence. Existence, I don't speak just on the physical level, but real existence for eternity. Commentaries explain that whenever it's written, Olam, the universe, the world, without specifying which one, this world or the world to come, it includes both. If it wants to say just one, it will be said so. When we speak about this world only, we have to say, Olam Hazeh, this world. When we speak about the next world, we have to say, Olam Haba, the next world. If you say Olam in general, it includes everything that is called a world, a universe, right? So, when we say Torah is a pillar, that without it the world cannot exist, we speak about the world in general, as we saw in the story of the flood. We speak about every individual who is a universe. Every one of us is like a miniature universe. We say, whoever saves one human being, it's as if he saved the whole world. Why? Because every human being is a universe, right? A miniature universe. So the same way that the whole world will exist, if it's attached to Hashem, because it's attached to the source, via Torah, Avodah, Gmilut, Chasadim, the same way it's with the human being. The more we attach ourselves to Torah, the more we attach ourselves to spirituality, the more we attach ourselves to Hashem, right? Our intellect turns into a different kind of intellect. That's the reason why we go to very great people to ask for advice. It's famous and known that great people all through the generations gave advice in areas that they were not involved in medical issues, in business, in anything, in whom to marry and who not, relationships. You go to a great person, you speak to him for 2-3 minutes, sometimes even less, you present a question, they give an answer, and it's not their field. And they give the right answer. How is it? Because they received an inheritance. Based on the fact that they applied themselves fully and completely to acquire Torah to the extent that the human being can and prepare themselves to absorb the holiness of Torah by perfecting the character traits and creating the right vessel, they got an inheritance that is beyond them. There are, for example, stories about the Chazon Ish, very many and famous stories about the Chazon Ish, who was a very great person that lived in Lithuania most of his life, then moved to the land of Israel, lived in Bnei Brak, right? Was a person who studied Torah day and night. Never was outside of the field of Torah. And people came to him for advice in medicine, and he gave answers. And obviously, he was not an irresponsible person. And there are endless stories of doctors who he used even to draw how to do the surgery. Right? And doctors got insulted in the beginning, right? Who is he to come and tell us what to do? But if they followed, they were successful. How did he know? Because everything is in the Torah, because it's the source of godly wisdom. And if a person elevates himself, connects himself to Torah, he will be able to know things that are not really his field, right? In any area. The Kosker Rebbe said it in a very beautiful way. He said, when you are in the world, you don't see much. But imagine you stay outside of the world and you look at it, you see everything. Meaning, if you are immersed in the physical reality, obviously you are limited, you don't see everything. But if you are out of this world, you are not immersed in the physical, you connect to the higher, to the spiritual, obviously you can see what other people cannot see. Okay, so that's one pillar, Torah. It changes the essence of the person to become a different being. Okay, a godly being attached to Hashem, but obviously gives access to many things that other people don't have. Let's go next to Avodah. We said Avodah, when the Beit HaMikdash exists, it's bringing the offerings. What is the topic that I won't go into now? It deserves a whole, you know, long discussion in order to understand it. And being that we don't have it today, I would rather discuss what we have today that is a substitute for korbanot, which is tefila. Why is tefila, based on what we said up till now, a pillar for this world? What did we say makes it a pillar? Something that the... I can't hear. It's in the left, so it deals with another faculty, right? Tefila is the heart, right? Tefila is the heart. But this is not yet the answer why this sustenance, this gives endurance, this gives existence to this world.
Brings us closer to Hashem.
Okay, and then go further with the idea, you're in the right direction.
I feel like it cultivates the mindfulness that we have every day with what our purpose is, the attachment to cling to Hashem.
Okay, good. What else? Why is clinging to Hashem a pillar? Based on what we said up till now.
Because we know that He's the only one that could do anything.
You said that. Thing created is has interdependence, so the human being depends on Hashem. So that's.
And what does this do? You're in the right direction, all of you. So when we are connected to Hashem, what happens to us?
We become
holy, godliness, right? And what is real substance that can go ahead and exist for eternity, only something that has in it godliness. If I pray, and this makes me cling to Hashem, right? I'm attached to the source of existence, right? On my own, I have no existence. I cannot do anything unless Hashem gives me the ability to accomplish, unless I'm connected to Him. It's the flow of godliness from Him to me that makes me good, that makes me able to do, right, to exist, right? Because only he exists. So if I'm attached to him, I get existence. And I get existence for eternity. So that's one way to explain tefillah. And the third one, yes?
How are words a substitution for action?
How are?
Words substitute prior to tefillah.
The main part of the korban was not the action. It was just a way to bring a person to think and feel. It's not the action. And the proof is that when the Jewish people brought sacrifices and the heart and soul were not with it, Hashem said, why are you coming? I don't need you here.
Oh, he didn't accept it.
Right? It was not, Hashem didn't want it. It's only a means to create feelings, emotions, understandings, and so on. Okay. Now, doing good to other people. Why is this something that the world stands on? Along the same lines. This is a little harder because you have to have a link here that is missing.
Because it attaches us to the recipient of our good. It attaches us to people in the way that prayer attaches us to God.
Okay, it attaches us to people. That's true. What else?
Again, that interdependence. Giver, taker.
Okay, I'll soon elaborate on what you said. We are imitating what Hashem does. Very good.
And what does this have any connection to what they say, if you stand on one foot, what's the Torah? Do unto others as you would have done to yourself.
Yes, you are right. You are right. Okay, let me put all that you said together, okay, according to the Maharal. The fact that Hashem provides for all of us all that we need in order to exist. Air, food, right, is creating a connection where Hashem constantly bestows upon us things. When we daven in the morning, right, when we daven and we say Ashrei, we are told there is one pasuk that we must say with intention. And if not, we have to repeat it. And this is Hashem opens up his hand and provides for everybody. Potech et yadecha umasbia lechol chai ratzon. When we say in Shabbat prayers, the chapter from Psalms, that speaks about the kindness of Hashem, Hodu la Hashem ki tov ki leolam chasdo, thank Hashem because He is good, His kindness is forever. And we mention different things that He did for us historically, right? That show that He is good. We thank Him about the fact that He created the world, that He took us out of Mitzrayim, that He conquered nations for us, and so on and so on. A whole list, long list. What is the one before the last? The one before the last is Masbia Noten Lechem Lechol Basar. It provides food for every being. And the truth is that we cannot have enough libraries to fill, to contain the information of how every creation that was created is provided in its own environment and by the way that it is built, right, provided with food. It's an unbelievable thing. But for us Jewish people, Hashem defended what He gives us to our giving to other people. And why so? If we give, if we do chesed, then Hashem bestows chesed, bestows kindness and giving to this world. And why so? It doesn't happen in the animal kingdom, right? He provides for them without them doing anything. Our sages say, I never saw an animal that has a profession and they have what they need, right? We have to go to college, pay loans for the rest of our life in order to have what we need and they have it free of charge. Why did He do it in this way? Because everything that was created, as we said in the beginning, was created in order to give us the opportunity to create good, to connect to Hashem. Because this is the purpose of creation. Hashem wants to bestow goodness upon us, and not physical goodness only, also, but mainly a connection to Him. That's the purpose of creation. So He made what He gives to us dependent on what we do. And that's why giving to each other is a must. It's a pillar that the world is built on. Because based on our giving, Hashem bestows giving upon us. because the fact that we need food and that we need to study and get a profession in order to get food is something that Hashem created. What means this is an opportunity to fulfill our purpose. There is nothing that happens in this world that is not a way to fulfill the purpose, to connect to Hashem, to create good. Because originally, the Torah says, Ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra mineurav. We were created with a bad inclination. We are born with negative character traits too. Children, babies are jealous already. Right? My mother told me that when I was born, my older sister said, throw her into the garbage. She's just 3 years older than me. She was 3, I was a baby, and she said, throw her into the garbage. It was not an intellectual decision, right? It's jealousy we are born with, right? And many other negative things that we are born with. Why so? Because these things are, by working on them, creating the good. And that's what we are here for. We are here to create good, not just to do good, not just to study what is good, not just to know what are the right feelings, but turn everything that has a potential for negativity into something good. And the three ways that we can achieve it is via Torah, via prayer, and via good deeds. Why? Because they connect us to Hashem. And the only way to do good is to be connected to the source, to be connected to godliness. The physical, by nature, pulls us away from Hashem. That's why Hashem created us not as angels, but as beings who have a body and a soul, because He wants us to have free choice, and the body pulls us towards being away from Hashem. The soul pulls us to connect to Hashem, and He wants to give us the opportunity to turn the bad into good. To be born with a bad inclination, with bad character traits, bad inclinations, the ability for bad thoughts, whatever it will be, with giving us the ability to turn it into something good. So it's not enough that I won't act upon my bad feelings. It's not enough that I won't act upon my bad thoughts. Hashem wants us to turn my thoughts, my feelings, my actions into something that is naturally good. And that's why Torah is very different than any other set of laws. In no other set of laws will a person be told, you cannot sit at home and plan how to kill somebody else. As long as a person doesn't do it, nobody cares. No other set of laws will tell us what we have to love and what we have to hate. If you don't act upon your hatred, it's your own business. Right? Not so Torah. Lo tachmod, you should not covet, right? Is one of the Ten Commandments. So I can see a friend of mine having the best, and my life is not going this way, and I shouldn't feel bad about it because she has. I can ask Hashem to give me, right? That's okay. What she has can indicate to me what makes life better, but I cannot have a bad feeling or desire that I'll have because she has. Do you have another set of laws that deals with those things? Totally not. Right? Why? Because what the Torah wants us, what Hashem wants us, is to become good. Not just to do good. Not just to act as if I feel for somebody else. But really to feel for him. To be good. To be godly. And this is the purpose of creation, as we see in the Torah. And that's why we said before, 5 days the Torah says Kitov after each creation. What happened on the sixth? I want you to open up the creation of the sixth day in the Torah. Okay. After, it's very interesting. On the sixth day, the first part of the day, animals were created. Some more animals. Some were created on the first day, on the fifth day, and some of the third, of the sixth. And that's described first. And right after, in verse number 25 in chapter 1, page 7, 7:25. Okay, it's written, God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, and the animal according to its kind, and every creeping being of the ground according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. So this part is like the other days. God saw that it was good. He wanted to continue in this way. It has a purpose. It does whatever Hashem wants it to do. Then there is a description in the next page of how man was created. And when it's finished, it's not written Kitov at all. It's ending in verse number 28. In 27 it's written that Hashem created man. In 28 it's written that he blessed them. And then instruction what to eat, what not to eat. There is the Kitov. Look at verse number 31. Then it says, and God saw all that he had made. And behold, it was very good. Now we saw everything, and it was very good. Why is it very good? Because now there is a man who can turn everything that was created before into tov, into good, right? To make the world lean on these three pillars that we just discussed. Now, the word me'od hints towards man, because it's the same letter as Adam. Me'od and Adam are Aleph, Dalet, Mem. Right? The same three letters. So, what the Torah tells us is as follows. I didn't say kitov about men, because men has to do the job, not me. I gave him everything he needs in order to be good. Right? I gave him all the faculties. The brain, the heart, the liver, the limbs. And I gave him instructions. But he has to make it very good. And only men can do it. Okay? So we understood in one way why those are three pillars. We are over time with the break. We'll take a break now. And we'll continue with it. And then see a Mishnah that tells us the negative. What we cannot do in order to make sure that the world will exist. Okay.
Is there significance with the six parakim and the 6 days of the week, or the six or the six?
Yaakov, which is Emet and Torah. So here you have the three pillars. It's a detail to be in this way, because these are the foundations, and they created the DNA. They created the foundation of what Klal Yisrael is all about, and that's why we have Gmilut Chasadim, doing good to others, by Avraham, Avodah by Yitzchak, and Torah by Yaakov. He adds something else very beautiful that commentaries say. If we look at Rivka, Eliezer is going to look for a wife for Rivka. What did he test her with?
Chesed,
right? But he says the following. He says, it was, he gave her jewelry. He gave her shnei tzmidim, asara zahav mishkalam. Shnei tzmidim, two bracelets, that weighed a certain 10 units of weight of gold. And our sages explain that it's to hint towards the two tablets with the 10 commandments. Says the Maharal, being that she had kindness, he told her, with time, things will be added. The two other pillars will be added. Wow. You'll get married to Yitzchak, and in this way you will have Avodah. You give birth to Yaakov, and in this way you'll have Torah. So you have the three pillars together. And this must be the foundation of the Jewish people. Because these are the ways to connect to Hashem. This is the way to turn this world into Tov, into good. Connect the world to Hashem. Now, I want to add a little more to this idea before we go to the other Mishnah. As we said before, these three pillars correspond to three parts, three faculties of the human being. Torah corresponds to the brain, we said, right? Tfilah corresponds to which part of the human being?
The heart.
The heart, right? Because we have to pray with our heart. And Milut Chasadim corresponds to the Kaved, right? Or to the body, right? Because it's the physical actions, right? Where we give to others, right? And provide for them also physicality as well. So it's three faculties of the human being. To be good, one has to perfect all the faculties that Hashem gave the person. Because as we said in the beginning, everything that was created in order to create good. Right? In order to serve a purpose. Nothing is here unless Hashem wants it to serve a purpose. Unless it is an instrument, something that can bring good into this world. So if we have a brain, a heart, and other limbs, we have to turn them to be good by Torah, Avodah, Gminut Chasadim, and then we become good. Okay, so via Torah, our brain turns into a reality of good. Via Tfilah, when we pour our heart to Hashem, our heart does. And via Gmilut Chasadim, our limbs are. Now, all those, our brain, our heart, and our limbs, that are faculties that Hashem gave us, could also be used in a negative way. Right? Intellect can be very dangerous. People can use knowledge to destroy. Right? They can use knowledge to hurt other people. Right? Definitely feelings. Right? We can hurt via them, we can build via them. And the same with our actions. When we take these faculties that have the ability to do negativity. Yetzer lev adam ra mineura. We have a bad inclination. Right? Who pulls us to do negative things via our brain, via our heart, via our limbs. When we turn them to do the will of Hashem, we perfect ourselves. It brings shlemut, perfection. How does a person feel when he perfects himself?
Wonderful.
Happy. Very happy. That's the key to happiness.
And powerful.
Powerful, happy. And that's why these are the pillars that on it, the individual's universe, the individual's reality, the individual's world is standing on. And it's a very big promise because we usually identify happiness with what?
Getting things.
With getting things.
Oh, sure.
With getting things, with what we have and what happens in our life. With what we have and what we don't have. The more we have, we think the happier we are. Right? The more we get, the happier we are. And here we learn something very, very interesting. It has nothing to do with each other. You can have it all and be the most miserable. And you cannot have and be happy. What does it depend on? Do I do my job? Do I take what I have as well as what I don't have and turn it into a means to create good? If I turn it into a means to create good, I'll feel happy regardless if I have or don't. I don't have something. And if I turn this into something that causes me to grow spiritually, to become closer to Hashem, I feel happy. And the lack will still be felt, of course. And it's okay to approach Hashem and say, please give it to me. It's very hard to cope with it. Perfectly right. But if via this I connect to Hashem, it will give me a level of happiness that having it won't give it. Because it's something that is real. It's godly. The moment I do something spiritual, I create eternity. I create something that is substantial. I'm connecting to the source of everything. And this creates happiness. Inner happiness. It does not mean life is easy. Life can be very, very difficult. And I can cry at the same time. And it's okay. and beg Hashem at the same time. And it's okay. But I know I am here for something that is in within my hands. What Hashem will give me or not give me, it's in His hands. What other people will do to me is not in my hands many times. Right? But what I can do is in my hands. So my happiness depends on how I react to my reality. That's basically what it is. If I take whatever I have or don't have, whatever happens to me or doesn't happen to me, and via this I connect to Hashem, it gives it meaning. I know I might have had a very difficult day, but it's a very meaningful day. And this day is always for me. I want to share with you something that I'm sure I shared in the past. It's one of the stories that I love, right? So I'm sure you heard it from me, but it's very apropos here. There was an old couple in Jerusalem, in very advanced age. And they prepared Pesach. And Pesach is not simple for elderly people, right, to prepare and to do. And after all the preparations that starts in this age, you know, very early, slowly, slowly, over a few months, right? Finally, Pesach comes, and in 7 days, it's over, right? So, after Pesach, the husband is turning to his wife, and he says, another Pesach gun. His wife answered, another Pesach was added. Not gun. It was added. Gun is only something that is not attached to Hashem, that is not Torah or Avoda or Gmilut Chasadim. Anything that we do that has to do with creating good is a creation that is here to stay. And that's up to us. At any stage, any situation, even God forbid a person who lays in bed and all he can do is think, he still can create good. We pray that we won't be in such a situation, and it's okay. And we pray for the health of people who are in such a situation, and we should do it. Hashem is there waiting for us to ask Him. That's another way that we connect via this reality to Hashem. But every moment of it is very meaningful. Very, very meaningful, because we create good. Okay? And the more we invest in it, the more we throw ourselves into Torah, Avoda, and Gmilut Chasadim, these three pillars, the more meaningful our life is, and the more eternal it becomes, because these things don't get lost. Anytime that we approach Hashem, anytime that we cry to Him, anytime that we know when things don't go well, that He is the source. Every time that we know when things do go well, that He is the source. We create something that is there forever. It's as if we built a universe. It's only that there is a screen that hides from us what is it that we are building. The wealth stands on those things. So we create wealth when we do it. Right? We create our own reality for eternity. It's only covered up because if we would have seen it, life would be happy regardless of what's going on with it. There would have been no test because it's so wonderful what that we are creating that we would, with no effort, will invest in it. Okay? So, Pirkei Avot gives us the three pillars that we have to dedicate ourselves to, and it doesn't give a time framework. Doesn't give a time framework. What indicates to us that there should not be a day that passes without an investment, at least in one of those. And that we should not do it by rote, but we should put ourselves into it. Because as we said, doing by rote affects us only superficially, right? So for example, let's take the pillar of prayer. Very fundamental pillar, right? And we do it every day, right? We speak to Hashem. As women, we can do it in our own words, right? Men do it 3 times a day. It's an obligation, right? It's half an hour in the morning, 40 minutes, 45 minutes, depends how quickly, right, we do it, but at least it's a half an hour, right, if you do the whole shacharit. We should make sure that there is at least one part where we say every day with our heart and soul. Life is complicated, we are distracted, it's hard to concentrate for so long and say everything in the proper way. It's human. But we have to choose something that speaks to us in the prayer. And at least one sentence should connect us to Hashem in a way that we feel we stood in front of him, we spoke to him and he heard us. And we are connected. We trust him. We approach him. Not just read something, but we speak to him. A day should not pass without doing an act of chesed. It could be something very simple and small. It could be putting something for tzedakah. It could be davening for somebody, saying a chapter of Tehillim for somebody. Obviously, it could be picking up the phone and speaking to somebody that needs a phone call. Even smiling to people is an act of chesed. But there is a famous story about the Chazon Ish that, I think it was the Chazon Ish, that spoke to a pharmacist, non-religious Jew, and told him, I'm very jealous of you. Because every day you help people to become healthy. So the person was a very honest person. And he told him, I'll tell you the truth. The only reason I do it is because I need money. Oh. I need money. So he told him, but you do it anyhow, right? When you do it, add a thought. I am doing it because I want him to be healthy. I do it because I care about him. Do the same thing. But add the concept of doing something for somebody. And it affected him very much. He also liked the idea. All of a sudden it gave meaning to things that he did just for money. And he started to do it on a regular basis. He ended up to be Shomer Shabbos. Because he realized the difference between life in with a connection to something that is eternal, something that is beyond, something that is not just making money, but serving Hashem, and life without it, right? So even the things that we do already, we are just aware that we are building three pillars that sustain our own reality, our own world, and the world in large, can change already a lot in our life. Okay. Now, in chapter 4 in Pirkei Avot, there is another Mishnah that is basically the opposite of this one, tells us what not to do. This Mishnah told us what to do. And the other Mishnah, that is also very, very famous, tells us what not to do. Okay, it's chapter 4. And it starts the end of the chapter. Yeah, it's 28. In the Hebrew Siddur, it's 276. I don't know if anybody has the English Siddur, if you can tell us. Kafchet, 28. 276, it's short, I'll read it. I'm sure you heard it before.
Which Mishnah?
Rabbi Elazar HaKapar Omer. Right, one of the sages says, Akin'ah, jealousy, Ata'ava, immersion in physical desires, the akavod and the pursuit of honor, take the person out of this world. Meaning, when I do the positive things, I create a world. When I do these three things, I basically take myself out of the world. Meaning, I lose my world in this world and in the world to come. So first, let's take it on a very simple level. Practically speaking, how does a person who is constantly jealous, how does his life look? He has no life. Right? He takes himself out of this world. You could have a life, and being that you're so jealous, your life is not life. Right? That's one. Tava, a person who is indulged, addicted to physical desires, is constantly, you know, is enticed to do things that are not good for him and don't satisfy. Because physical desires cannot fulfill a person. They can give immediate pleasure. But when we do it too much, how do we feel? We feel disgusted with ourselves, right? We drink a little bit wine, we feel very good, and it's good, it's positive. We do more, we can't take ourselves anymore, right? We lose our godly image. We act like, you know, people without control. It's very embarrassing. It's not good. And it's not healthy. The same with running after runner. A person who runs after runner is totally dependent on other people. You know, there's a famous joke that a person did everything in order that people will give him honor, to the extent that he really embarrassed himself in what he did. And when people told him, "But you are embarrassing yourself," he said, "But everything is worth for COVID, for honor." Right? So he's embarrassing himself for honor and doesn't see the contradiction between the two. Right? So these people don't have life. They depend on external things that are not in their control, and they're miserable. So that's the practical aspect. But obviously, for this, you don't have to have something written in Pirkei Avot. Everything that observes reality can come up with this idea. Don't indulge in physicality. Don't be jealous. It's not good for you. Right? Don't run after recognition and honor of other people. It makes your life not alive. For this, it's not in Pirkei Avot. Why is it in Pirkei Avot? The Maharal again, who is my guide today, right, explains something very deep, very beautiful about these three things. What did we say? And it's connected totally to what we said in the previous Mishnah. It's the same trend of thought. Right? Hashem created us. He gave us what we need for life. Do any of us have physical desires?
Yes.
Sure. Otherwise, they would not survive. If they would not like to eat or to drink or to rest, if they wouldn't have the desire for it, they wouldn't survive. Do animals run after runner?
No.
No. Why? What's the key to what they have and don't have?
Go?
No. Very good. Hashem gives them only what they need for survival. They don't need it for survival, so it's not given to them. Okay, it's not given to them. Do we need honor to survive? Do we need jealousy and physical desires to survive? Physical desires, yes. Right? If I won't have physical desires, I will not survive. I won't eat, I won't drink, I won't sleep, I won't take care of myself. I need physical desires. I need also jealousy. Our sages say people would have not been jealous, they wouldn't build a house, they wouldn't get married, they wouldn't do anything that demands effort. Why should they? But if somebody else has, okay, then I want too. So in this way, the world is built. That's on the physical level. On the spiritual level, I see other people who are growing. That's positive. Jealousy, right? I want also. If they can, I can too. Right? Now, honor. Hashem gave us also. I don't need it for physical survival. Right? But why do I need honor, kavod? Whom should I honor? Besides people around me, I should have respect, kavod, for myself. Because if not, I won't care how I behave. I will do things that are immoral, with no integrity, harm other people as long as it benefits me. I need to respect myself and to know I'm a person with a godly image. Right? So these things are needed physically and spiritually. They need physically because otherwise I won't survive. Right? And for the human being, not for animals. And they are needed also in order for me to be a human being. I need to see other people, role models, who grow and desire to be like them. It's positive jealousy. I need to respect myself, let alone Torah scholars, people with good character traits, and so on and so on. Right? And every human being was created with a godly image. This will prevent me from harming people. So I need it, right? And I need physical desires too, because I won't survive physically. Right? Now, what did we say in the very beginning? Everything Hashem created has to create what?
Good.
Tov. Need to create tov. And as we see, these three things, jealousy, physical desires, and the pursuit of honor, can create good. are needed. Otherwise, Hashem did not create them. But everything that Hashem created for the human being can be used positively and could be used negatively. The boundaries, the limitations have to be created by me. The moment I go beyond the limitations, I destroy myself. I can destroy in the process others too, but I destroy myself. I take myself out of this world. So how do I refer to anything that Hashem created in me in terms of powers, jealousy, physical desires, the pursuit of honor? I have it in me. If it's here, it means via this I can connect to Hashem and develop Torah, Avodah, and Milut Chasadim. If I don't, I'll destroy myself. And the Maharal explains how these three are the exact opposite of Torah, Avodah, and Milut Chasadim. Let's see. Where do I have jealousy? Which faculty of mine?
Heart.
In the heart. So we have one already. The heart, right? As we had before. Avodah, Tfilah, right? Is the heart. Where do I have physical desires? In my physical body. All my limbs. Right? Or in the kaved. Right? The liver. Right? And where is the pursuit of honor taking place? In my body. So what's the solution for these three? Torah, that will direct my brain in the right way. Avodah, tefillah, prayer, that will direct my heart to the right way. And gmilut chasadim, that will direct my limbs to the right way. So that's why they correspond to each other, these two mishnayot. Yes.
Jealousy, desire,
and the pursuit of honor. The pursuit of honor, kavod.
Oh. Kavod. Kavod. Repeat it again.
Okay, I'll repeat it again. Jealousy is in the heart. What do we have in order to direct our heart the right way? That it won't follow other people's having and not having and comparing myself to them and so on, hatred, all these feelings. I have prayer. Soon we'll see why. That's the last part of it. Okay. Then, the second one is tava, physical desires. That's my physicality. That's one physical desires, right? My limbs are tired. I want to sleep, right? I feel my stomach. I want to eat, right? It's the physicality that pulls me towards desires. By using my physical limbs to do good to other people, I'll overcome it. I'll channel it in the right way. And the last one, kavod, honor, is in the brain. I want recognition. I think about what other people think about me. I contemplate what they said, want them to say what I want them, what I think about, and so on. Now, what did we say? I need to take these three, and I need to create boundaries. Right? I need to put them in the right framework. They were created for something positive. Yes. Kina can cause also hatred.
I'm sorry?
The consequence of kina can be hatred.
So that's what I put. You're interpreting it as...
kina is jealousy. The interpretation is jealousy. But it's a cause for hatred as well.
Oh, okay. So I wasn't wrong. Okay.
Yes.
So what you're saying is that we need kina, tava, and kogod as part of our physical existence...
And for spirituality too. But it has to be contained in the proper, with the proper limitations and boundaries. It has to be with the right intention. Okay? But if people go beyond, right, indulge in all of them, they have no life. Right? So we can turn them into good. How is Tfilah, Torah, and Milut Chasadim help me to contain those things? If we look at the underlining thing, the common denominator of all three, It's one word. It's faith. Emuna. Emuna. Faith in Hashem. Let's explore it. I want recognition from other people. What will direct me to understand that this is nothing? Is it really the truth that I'm asking for? You know, they say nobody eats somebody else because he gave him a compliment. Even if the compliment is not true. And people will be angry at other people who say something negative about them, even if it's the truth. Right? That's the reality. We like compliments, we hate criticism. Right? Torah teaches me to seek truth. Torah and truth are the same. It indicates to me, if I'm connected to Torah, it indicates to me that honor is meaningless. It's a dependency on other people for falsehood. Because if I'm really good, this has to satisfy me. What does it matter what other people say? And if I'm not good and they say that I'm good, why do I buy it? I falsify myself. Right? So the connection to truth teaches me to go for the substance, not for the external gratification that is meaningless. Okay? It's not an easy test, though. Because as I said before, we naturally want compliments. It gives us a good feeling about ourselves. Sometimes we fool ourselves. The things that people say that we are wonderful, we are really wonderful. But it comes from the fact that we want to be wonderful somewhere. Right? So that's Torah. Now, Avodah. I have different feelings. And they're very powerful. Jealousy, hatred, all these type of feelings. Love to things that I shouldn't love. Right? We don't always love what we need to love. Right? Love to things that I shouldn't love. What can overcome it? If I develop a true love to Hashem. If I channel these feelings towards the real thing, towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, towards Hashem. Right? And the more I do it, the happier I'll be, and this will help me to overcome the next time. Because as we said, when I do the right thing, I feel good. So the more I do it, the better I feel. Okay? The third thing. Milut Chasadim. You'll talk to people who have it all physically. Famous, rich, glamorous. They have it all. Right? And it causes them to indulge in physicality in a way that makes life boring. Physicality cannot fulfill the person. It gives him pleasure at the moment, but the soul is not nourished. It causes a person to feel fed up when it's too much. Right? The things that you love to eat the most. Just eat it day after day a few times and forget about it. You can't look at it anymore. And it's true for all physical things, right? So when we are doing for others, that's when we feel much better about ourselves and about life, right? So these three help us to overcome kina, tava, and kavod. Because when I take something that I possess, that I worked hard on, and I share it with somebody else and cause him happiness, it gives meaning to what I have. Very interesting. I take away from myself, I give to somebody else, and this makes me feel good. Why? Because I turned something to real good. And real good satisfies. Now, I think this topic, this explanation that the Maharal gives about kinat ahava and kavod, is essential today. Because if we look at the reality of today, especially now with technology and artificial technology and all the indulgences, right, that are part of the reality today, unfortunately. What happens? People take faculties that Hashem gave us. They can bring good and happiness, and it becomes a creation that destroys the creator of it. think about it. All the dangers of artificial intelligence that are so much discussed now, right? Took me time to learn what it is all about, right? It's so sophisticated. Right? But on one hand, it's mind-boggling what it can accomplish. Mind-boggling. But what does it do to the human being? What does it do to society? What potential does it have to destroy all social connections, relationships, right? And destroy people totally and completely. Somebody can take my voice and create a speech that I gave and I did not say it. And people who listen to it are sure I am the one who speaks. And they can put into my mouth exactly what they want. And create hatred towards me, jealousy towards me, destroy me. Right? It's very frightening. What does Hashem show us? I gave you so much. After creation, right? Hashem says, Pru urvu milu et haaretz, multiply, fill earth, vekifshua, conquer it. I'm giving it to you. Here it is. It's yours. Create that. But with the same things that Hashem gave us, that we can create, we can destroy. See social media and what it does to mental health, especially of young people. I just read that every fourth high school child in America experiences depression because of social media. We are destroying ourselves, right? Human beings destroy themselves with the tools that were given to them to build, to connect, to create eternity. And it's very frightening. You see it in front of you, and obviously, even if you are not indulged in it or not involved in it, and say it doesn't enter my home, I am not becoming part of it. We live in a society where it's prevalent, where this is the reality. Hashem puts us here in this reality for a reason. We have to understand the concept of exile. The concept of exile is Hashem puts us in a nation where we see behaviors that are so self-destructive that it will cause us to go to the other direction and dedicate ourselves to building. Detach ourselves from it and attach ourselves to the right things. The involvement today of the world in large in no boundaries. This is what I want. This is what I do. This is what I desire. I make it happen. Many times, feeling at the end very sorry about it, because it's self-destructive. In the beginning, it looks very promising, and at the end, we experience the self-destruction, right? But it's a reality without boundaries. A person thinks that he's God. He can take everything and anything and do whatever he wants. He can change gender. He can take information and change the world, right? Yes, all of it is true. But while we do it with Torah, Avodah, and Milut Chasadim, we are giving stability to reality. We are giving eternity to our existence and to the world in large, right? And we create a happy reality. We can take the very same things and use them in the opposite way, destroy ourselves and destroy others. So if this is the reality out there, it's a very big call to us. Learn. Don't lose sight. Connect to Torah, Avodah, and Milut Chasadim. Don't indulge. Know that you are godly. That's why Hashem gave you the whole creation. He didn't give it to the animals. He didn't even give it to the angels. Because we have the capacity to make the right choices that will turn this world into Gan Eden, into paradise. From after the sin of first man, our job, our mission is to come back to Gan Eden. And the more we move away from this period of time of first man, and the more control we have over the world, the more we destroy ourselves and put ourselves far away from paradise. It's the mission of us, Jewish people, who know Torah and learn Torah, and know what life is all about. To become not only the people who will do the right thing, but the people who will be the example to all nations of how you can have a life that's very different. You know, I saw lately, I'm sure you saw it too, that Adam Sy, the mayor of New York, spoke to a Jewish gathering and said, we should learn from you how to educate children. Right? When we detach our children, ourselves, from this reality, we become also a role model to other nations. And hopefully, when we do this, we won't have to be tested anymore. And the time where we come back to Gan Eden will really come back very soon. Yes.
This isn't easy to say, but I feel that often we can set an example for our own nation.
Again?
It's important that we realize that when we do something good, we're also setting an example for our own nation.
Sure.
How many of us go through certain times where we're not really paying attention, we're not focused, and